Welcome to Money Isn't Scary, a podcast for women to explore our fears around money and inspire each other to be financially empowered. I'm Megan Dwyer, and I'm making it my personal mission to remove the taboo around money and help women rewrite their stories so they can stop staying small and begin to live life on their terms. In this show, we get real and uncomfortable as we unpack our beliefs, thoughts, and behaviors that aren't serving us anymore. I can't wait for you to join me on this journey, so let's dive in. Hi, you guys. Welcome to the Money Isn't Scary podcast. I'm Megan Dwyer. So today, I want to talk about something that was inspired by a recent conversation I was having with my therapist. Relatable, right? One of the things that came up recently for me is working through this kind of constantly like seeking or searching energy that I have. So a little bit about me. I am a self-proclaimed dreamer. I am someone who is always thinking bigger than the present moment. I'm thinking about the future. And by future, I don't mean like next month. I mean like, where do I see myself in 10 or 20 years? And I'm always trying to figure out my next steps and starting to put together a plan for how I'm going to accomplish those next steps. I'm a planner by nature. This is just how I'm driven. So it makes me feel good to have things mapped out, and it makes me feel safe. And at the same time, I'm recognizing that I place so much of my day-to-day happiness on that future thing instead of what's directly in front of me. And a lot of times, this is to my detriment because I can get pretty stinking frustrated by the fact that I didn't move myself anywhere near or closer to where I want to be today. And it also takes me further away from the present moment, like where I am today with all the things in my life that I'm juggling. And I'm left feeling pretty stuck in this like constant, as I call it, existential crisis or questioning. It's this like, who am I? What am I doing in life? What is my purpose? Why am I here? All that kind of stuff. And also feeling almost disappointed that I am where I am because I haven't gotten to where I want to be yet. Does any of this sound familiar to you guys? I think this is probably pretty common for people who are wired and driven the same way that I am. It's hard for me because despite all the advice from people and motivational quotes out there to enjoy the gift of today, that's why they call it the present, I still struggle with it. Maybe it's because there's always so much to do, but part of me also thinks this is just who I am. It's how I'm wired. It's part of the neurology, and I just got to learn to work with that. And through a lot of peeling back of layers, I'm realizing that the reason I tend to avoid what's in front of me is because it can be uncomfortable. I always thought of myself as a very self-aware person, yet there's always more to learn about ourselves. So let me dig in a little bit more here. I don't think of myself as a naturally avoidant person because, like I just said, I've done so much personal development work that I'm not really afraid of it anymore. Like, bring it on, right? But that's not entirely true. There's still a lot of feelings that I'm avoiding, and I just do it in ways that I didn't even recognize were avoidance. Just because it's not obvious doesn't mean it's not real. A few weeks ago, I did an episode on self-love, and I talked about what I like to call the "and then what" technique, where we start by naming what's going on, what we're afraid of, what makes us anxious, what's holding us back from something maybe we should or want to do, right? And then we ask ourselves, and then what? To dig in a little deeper, like what's the worst that could happen? After we do this for a few rounds, we ultimately get to the root issue or the trigger that's causing the anxiety. So I did this exercise recently and discovered that at the core of my day-to-day anxiety, it's really summed up with the fear of disappointing people. Or just said another way, the fear of not having people like me. It is the absolute worst feeling for me. And I'm realizing that it's not just me, it's my kids too. My son feels the exact same way, and we kind of went through this exact same technique with him just this morning on an issue he's dealing with at school. And we figured out that ultimately, at the end of the day, he just wants the other kids to like him, right? So how does a naturally avoidant feeling or naturally avoidant tendencies of those cringy feelings of not having people like me or not wanting people to like me, how does that play out for me? It plays out for me personally lots of ways. Being totally non-confrontational,
Not liking to put myself out there, not taking risks, checking email way more than I should or than is expected of me, being terrified of making mistakes, dreaming or imagining a totally different career or path where I didn't have the same challenges, not always speaking up for what's on my mind, all those kind of things, right? I think those are very familiar behaviors, but none of them are doing me any good. Even though these behaviors don't seem on the surface to be outright avoidance, they totally are, because they're all things that I do so that I don't have to feel the potential discomfort of people not liking me. And when I figured this out, this was like a light bulb moment for me. And this concept can be applied to any area of our lives, including and especially our relationship with money. When we invite the really uncomfortable feelings to join us and to just chill with us on a more recurring basis, we begin to recognize that the power that fear has over us becomes a little less intense. Don't expect it to fully go away. That's not the goal here. It's to get ever so slightly more comfortable with the discomfort and welcome it into our lives. And it's very subtle. So let's use scarcity as an example, because this is another core fear that's super common and brings with it a ton of stress for people. For me in particular, and I know for so many other people out there, because this is the stuff that it is incorporated into our everyday lives. And we see it. We just see it in ways that we don't even recognize is coming out. Scarcity is a pattern of thinking that focuses on what you don't have. And it's an underlying belief that you're not ever going to have the things that you want. And this can show up in a lot of ways, like trying to keep up with other people's spending habits rather than spending within your own means, or in thinking that there's only one way to be a good parent. That's something I struggle with all the time. And then we internally beat ourselves up for the ways that we fall short of these ideals. Scarcity can be rooted in many different fears, depending on how you experience or project it. But I think a few of the most common ones are the fear of running out of resources. So on a primitive level, it's food, water, and shelter. But at its root, the issue here is safety. We need these things to live. And when we don't have them, we don't feel safe. And rightly so. Another underlying fear with scarcity is this fear of rejection or of not being liked. We feel like there's not enough friendships or relationships to go around and we'll end up being alone. Again, this is also a primitive fear because we are social beings who crave connection. So we need both connection as well as basic necessities in order to live a healthy life. So all our scarcity thoughts and behaviors are wrapped up in the root fear of being alone and having nothing. Okay, so now that we know what's going on, how do we learn to be okay with what is, despite the super uncomfortable, awful, shitty feeling that comes with it? It's a process, and there is no magic. It's facing the fear head on and coming to the realization that it's not going to hurt us. So I encourage you guys to slow down, quiet the noise as best as you can, and see where you feel it, even if it's painful, in your body. Our bodies are constantly giving us clues as to what's going on internally. We just never realize it because we're always in our heads. But what if we started to pay attention to the physical sensations, like the butterflies in our stomach when we're anxious, or maybe an out of breath feeling, or when we get angry, right? I know like my face starts to feel hot. Let's start to pay a little more attention to those subtle signs that our bodies are giving us. And then we got to breathe through it. Don't try to change the feeling or make it go away or talk yourself out of the emotion. Focus on the physical sensation. And does it change when you pay attention to it? Are there other sensations now that you didn't have before? Remember that this feeling won't last forever. Research shows that the average time we feel an emotion is only 90 seconds before it begins to change and dissipate. So knowing all of that, I'm starting to change the way I see the everyday. I still very much have dreams and goals and visions, but I am not so much attached to them and the outcome of them like I have been. Like, it doesn't have to turn out exactly the way that I picture. I'm not putting as much pressure on achieving these goals and dreams and visions because I'm focusing more of my energy on really learning to be okay with what is today. And when I learn to live with my fears on an everyday basis, they don't hold as much power over me. And that feels really good. I can also be more present because the fears that had previously held me back don't hold the same weight anymore. So I can be more in the moment, which is ultimately my goal, especially when my kids are little like this, right? So I encourage you guys to do this exercise too. Start to examine what is causing the most pain or anxiety for you right now and begin to peel it back so that you can find what is at the root. And then sit with it and breathe through it. Don't try to avoid it or make it go away. And remember, this isn't easy. Emotions are hard and they can be really painful. And learning to do this is a skill that takes practice. So again, bring in some of that self-compassion and be really easy on yourselves. Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening today. I hope you got something out of this episode. And if you did, please share with me. I'd love to hear more from you guys and how these episodes are helping you in your day-to-day and in your relationship with money. You can also go check out my Facebook group, The Mindful Money Mamas, where I have a group of women just like you on this journey of self-discovery and creating a healthy relationship with money. Go check it out. Thanks so much, you guys. I'll talk to you next time.